The general subject of our fellowship this weekend is found at the top of the outline. I hope everyone has the outline. Let us read this together. Loving the Lord. That was pretty good, but probably could be a little better. Let's read it all together. Go.
Loving the Lord and loving one another, for the church as the body of Christ.
There you go. Amen. And the title of message 3, in case you're just joining us this morning, is actually the same title for messages 1 and 2. I do believe the outlines probably are available if you're just joining us this morning for messages 1 and 2. Life's washing in love to maintain fellowship. And I think it's easy to see that this is drawn from John 13. John 13 and that account of the last evening, the final evening of the Lord Jesus in that form, as a man among his disciples, the washing of feet, the washing of the disciples' feet. Now, I would like to begin my fellowship by reading the final Roman numeral on the outline, okay? Because this is actually the underlying burden to all three messages. So it's Roman 8. Are you with me? Are you with me? For those who are just joining us again this morning, it's not a mistake that this outline begins with Roman numeral 6. It is 6, right? Only has these three numbers, 6, 7, 8. That's because the three outlines are actually one continuous outline. So in the first meeting, we had numerals 1 and 2 and 3. And then last night, in session 2, we had 4 and 5. And so this is really the conclusion. But let's read Roman 8 together. Without the spiritual foot washing, the church life cannot be realized. And the reality of the church life would be gone. Isn't that a striking statement? I wonder if before this weekend, you would have thought so. That if we didn't have the reality of foot washing, actually, maybe foot washing was something a little vague to us. We've read it, we know about it, sure it's there, it's biblical. How does it apply to us? Not quite sure. Maybe we heard something. But actually, dear saints, if we do not have the spiritual foot washing, the reality of the church life will be missing among us. And that is why, on that night, what a night that was. Surely the disciples did not have the realization of what was going on because they didn't know what was coming. Even though the Lord had told them clearly. The Lord had told them. And then he even asked them, do you understand? They said, yes. But they didn't understand. They didn't have this realization. How many of them realized this would be the last night? This would be the last night that we would be together like this, ever. And on that night, the Lord knowing, just hours, you know, the Lord Jesus is eternal. You know this. He's eternal. But he stepped into time. He stepped in onto the bridge of time. And so he limited himself to a certain extent by time and space. For a period of time. So if he was here, he could not be there. And then he was under the restriction of time for a period of time. He put himself, he bound himself, he limited himself into this dimension of time. We're used to this. He was not used to this. But he got into the womb of a virgin and began this limitation of time. Now, he has a few hours to go. You know, as God, hours doesn't mean anything. Hour, minute, millennia, it's all the same. But under the restriction of time, he had a few hours with his beloved disciples. And what did he choose to do? And I know I've repeated this in each of the three messages. But to me, this is so impressive. I told you, this message, a lot of the fellowship I'm giving to you, I'm just passing on to you Brother Nee's words, Brother Nee's fellowship, that have just made an indelible impression on me. Brother Nee develops these matters. Also Brother Lee as well. But a lot of this part is from Brother Nee. And he makes this statement, what would you do if you knew you only had that many hours to go? And this is what the Lord Jesus chose to do. This. Firstly, to take the time, because this was the most time-consuming of all the things, to wash their feet. Must this not be significant to the heart of God? He's about to go there in just a few hours. You know, yesterday we estimated maybe at the most 15 hours, probably less. He would be on the cross. 3 hours later, you know, the first 3 hours, he was dying there, right, as a man suffering for God, right, suffering for God. At 12, the whole scene changed. I mean on the cross. Are you with me? There at 12 noon. Someone even prayed this out at the Lord's table. At least one or two brothers or sisters prayed this out, that he became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When did that happen? That happened at 12. From 12 noon to 3 p.m., just before 3. For those 3 hours. Somehow, and this is, I can't understand this, how this exactly happened. You know, we enjoyed just now at the Lord's table, he took the cup of wrath. He took the cup of wrath that we might have the cup of blessing. Oh, dear saints, this part, even before coming to the Lord's recovery, there, I was raised in the Brethren Assembly, and this part was just... Maybe I'll say this, as it says in Galatians. The Lord was openly portrayed, crucified. And so I gave my heart to the Lord. And since being a 12-year-old boy, the Lord's table meeting is so special. I hope for especially all our young people, the Lord's table would be so special to you. So special. That his love would come to you over and over and over again, every week. Especially to start a new week. Isn't this a great way to start a new week? Amen. With the love of God. Amen. Poured into our hearts. Amen. And we forget everything. We forget every service. We forget every problem. And we just turn our whole attention. Amen. To the triune God. Amen. And he pours his love into us again. Reminds us that he loves us so much. Isn't it good to be recalibrated at the beginning of every first day of the week? Amen. That can be the Lord's table. That's a new beginning. Okay, anyway, this matter of him becoming sin on our behalf. Oh, this is a great matter. All it says in Isaiah 53, all our sins. How? This is inconceivable. But this is what it means. All our sins. I don't want to bring you back to your background, to your failures, but just consider, how many sins have you been forgiven of? How many sins? You can't enumerate them. And then multiply that by, 800 people here. And multiply that by all the people on the earth. How what's that? 7 billion or something? And that's just alive now. And more will be born today. Their sins too. And all the sins of all the billions that have lived before. All those sins were laid on Christ. And God the Father said, you committed every one of them. And he was judged for every sin. No wonder, as he became sin, the Father had to turn away. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He had never not been in oneness and fellowship with the Father. And for that period of time, God the Father economically turned away from him. That's the cup of wrath. Don't think about just the lake of fire. That's the cup of wrath. You know that prayer, my God, why have you forsaken me? That will be repeated by people. That will be repeated by unbelievers. By that time, they will be believers. You know, Brother Nee has a message, believers in the lake of fire. But by that time, it's too late. That's why we must preach the gospel, especially to our loved ones, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates. Because one day, that will be repeated. My God, why have you forsaken me? And there will be no response for eternity. But not for you. You never have to say that. Me neither. Praise the Lord. Amen. I say, my God. He says, here I am. I say, oh Lord Jesus, before I finish the O, he's here. Praise the Lord. That's the cup of blessing. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. He was going to face that in what? At the most 18 hours. But the disciples are before him. And he has to do something to prepare them and to prepare us for the church age. So he did two great things. He did two great things that night. One of them was the Lord's table. Why did we just practice the Lord's table? Because of what happened that night. Do you see how we're connected to that night? That night affects every believer for the entire church age. Of course, it's not just that meeting. It's not just these symbols. We need the spiritual significance of what we just practiced. Of course, this holy hour, half hour, 45 minutes that we just spent, this holy time we just spent, this nothing, you can't exchange anything for this time. To be here with the Lord and with the saints, celebrating the table every week, there's a particular joy in the table meeting. Don't miss the table meeting. But it's not just that hour that has a spiritual significance or in reality that should affect us from Monday to Saturday. You understand what I'm saying? Even Lord's Day afternoon and evening. But Monday to Saturday in our living, what is that? That He has gone through this process so that we can eat him. Amen. And out of our eating him, what happens? A body is produced. That bread symbolized not only his physical body that's broken for us, but the mystical body of Christ. So much at the table that is so significant. Hard to believe, just these two symbols, a cup with fruit of the grape and a piece of bread, unleavened, how much they can represent. Surely these are divine concepts from the mind of the triune God. And we respect this and we honor this, I hope we do, week after week. But that's not the first thing he did that night. I hope we're impressed with this. The first thing he did was he went, he laid aside his robe, he girded himself, he got a basin, he filled it with water, and he came, and he stooped before his disciples. He got lower than them, and he washed them, one by one. I enjoyed a testimony we had last night. One of the sisters said, the Lord, you know, was not on the clock. We would be very efficient and just have a big basin and have a group washing. And I thought, yeah, that's, some of us would come up with a more efficient way than the Lord Jesus. Yeah. But the Lord Jesus was on the clock, no? You understand what I mean by that phrase? He was on the clock, but he didn't rush. So personal. So personal. I haven't timed it. Probably Brother Peter already has an estimate for how long this foot washing. You probably did this. If it's 12 disciples, or we don't know how many. And yeah, 24 feet, how many seconds per foot, you know. First the taking off the sandal, then the washing, then the wiping, and then the next, you know, all that. I know him, so I know he would have the estimate. And I come up with ways to do it better. I know he would do that. But the Lord Jesus, so personal. So personal. So personal. Listen, with your lowest part. With your lowest part. What kind of a God is this? What kind of a God is this? He comes to us. He stoops. He ministers. Then he says, do this. If I, the teacher and the master, do this, you ought to do this to one another. Oh, saints, I hope we could be impressed with both of these acts, not only the Lord's table. Yes, we must honor the Lord's table, but also the foot washing, the spiritual significance of foot washing. Because, and I'd like to read this again, because without the spiritual foot washing, the church life cannot be realized. And the reality of the church life would be gone. Actually, sorry to say, for some dear ones, the reality of the church life is already gone. This has happened. Being in the church life, participating in all the activities, this and that, and in a happy way. Not, I don't mean just going along. I don't mean, you know, sometimes we talk about Abraham and Lot. Abraham and Lot. And Brother Lee in the Life Study has a classic message on Lot and a warning to the second generation of God's people. You might be a second generation, but you have to be a first-hand Christian. Do you get this talk? Very often, the first generation is first-hand Christian. But sometimes, the second generation is a second-hand believer. They're in the church life because of the older generation. Our heart is that every second, every third, every fourth generation among us would be a first-hand believer. That's our heart. That's what we pray for. So I'm not talking about a second-hand believer who is a kind of a tag-along in the church life. I'm repeating that for the translators because I don't know how you would translate tag-along in Spanish even. It's my language, but I don't know how to say that. One who goes along not, you know, pursuing firstly themselves. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about saints who consecrated themselves to the Lord, gave themselves to Christ and the church out of a vision, paid a price to come the way of the Lord's recovery, because it does require a price. And yet still, through time, through some negligence, the reality of the church life was lost. Maybe some of us here can even relate to this, that there were times when, maybe in the past, you know, we've talked about this, and we're going to repeat this in I think point six, recovering lost feelings. That's foot washing. We recover the feelings we had for the Lord before. This is based on Revelation 2:4. It says, I have somewhat against you, that you left your first love. But then verse 5 says, remember! Remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works. What is that? That's foot washing. That's being recovered to former feelings. And it could be that in the past, on Tuesday nights, sorry, David, when's the prayer meeting for Philly? Wednesday. Wednesday night, you're at work, you're tired, but there's no even thought about not attending the prayer meeting. It's Wednesday night. It's Wednesday. If something comes up, actually you realize, it's Wednesday. Wednesdays are a battle. You know, in many churches in New York City, the prayer meeting's Tuesday. I remember things like this. That day, bizarre things would happen at work to make you work later, or things, or then you get home, and just as you're leaving, the water heater bursts. Has this never happened? Things like this? And then you see, it's Tuesday or Wednesday. And actually, when that happens, it's not a discouragement. It's a resolve. Said, we'll take care of that later. Water's gushing out. You don't care. The wives are more practical. The brothers are. But now, it's Wednesday. You're coming home from work. You have a little something in your back or a little cough. Maybe I'll stay home. Or maybe I'll join by Zoom. The former feelings were lost. That's how it begins. Right now, all you need is a little foot washing. This is not a tragedy. And this has happened. Even inwardly, the Lord calls us to himself. I don't know how the Lord calls you. Sometimes the Lord will say, really? Or, come on. You say, amen, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. And then by the time you get to the meeting, you're so happy. You just needed a little foot washing. But if you do not receive that foot washing, then the following week, something else. And the following week, something, and an accumulation. Then something happens in your personal life. You didn't have the supply. Once upon a time, you might have a supply. You may say, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you. I hope all of us, would come to this point. We never doubt the Lord's heart. Never doubt the Lord's heart. Something happens. It's exactly the opposite of what we prayed. Has that ever occurred? You prayed this, and you got that. And you even prayed not that. But that happened. Some, if no supply, if there's an accumulation of separation from the Lord. Remember, the dirty feet symbolizes separation from God. Just a little separation. But if it's just a little separation, it can be easily treated. But if there's a layer, an accumulation, when something happens, doesn't go our way, some people, not just they lose their faith about God, their trust for God, they blame God and even become bitter. Now, bitterness is allowed. You're allowed to feel bitter. If you feel bitter, you just feel bitter. But I encourage you, be like Hannah. You know Hannah? 1 Samuel chapter 1. She didn't have a child. That other woman who had children was mocking her. That's bitterness. We've seen this. The Lord has withheld from some families, from some couples, no children. That bitterness of soul, I've confronted that. I've touched that. Hannah was bitter, but what did she do? She poured out her soul to the Lord. She poured out her bitterness to the Lord. I hope we can learn that. That's to open and allow. What we talked last night. That's to open and then allow the Lord to come to minister to you. But you know, sometimes I found we have to take the first step to open and unload the bitterness. It's as if the Lord wants to come to us, the Lord wants to minister to us, but we're too occupied, too full, too preoccupied. And the Lord is quite used to this kind of a situation. Even from the moment he arrived, he wanted to be born. You know that story? Is it Luke 2? No room in the inn. He was coming. He was coming to humanity. And no room. And he wanted to come here. No room. And he wanted to come here. No room. This is God, the triune God. The triune God would not intrude. How about that? If you have a no vacancy sign, not open, the Lord would never force himself. The Lord in this regard, I just don't understand him. He's quite a gentleman. He's quite a gentleman. You say no, he waits. He waits. No room. He's used to this. No room. Oh, that we would never have no vacancy here for the Lord. But we'd say, Lord, Lord, make your home in my heart today. Amen. A little more. A little more. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I have this room in the back of my heart that I haven't allowed you in. But Lord, at least come in the hallway. Come in the door. Come to the door. You know, in Revelation 3, you know that? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What kind of God is this? We have a knocking God. If I were God, I would never knock. Think about it. If you were God, Moses, if you were God, would you feel that you ever had to knock? You would feel, I'm God. Open that door. But not our God. Our God. And if you don't open, either he keeps knocking for a time, or he recedes and waits for another time. What kind of a God we have? A stooping God and a knocking God. I love him. Don't you love him?
Yes.
Come back to saints who maybe the reality of the church life already gone. This is what we're talking about. If there's bitterness, if there's bitterness, remember that story in Exodus where the children of Israel come out of Egypt, wonderful, glorious. And this is our story. You know, Exodus is our story. They have such a marvelous victory. And then complaining. But why? Because the waters are bitter. And that's Marah. They come to Marah, M-A-R-A-H, Marah. And they complain to Moses. Why'd you drag us out here? What does Moses do? The Lord shows him a tree. So he takes the tree and throws the tree into the bitter water. What is that? Surely, that's the crucified Christ. The crucified Christ put into the bitter situation, and the waters are made sweet. So it's not that we never confront bitterness. It's allowed. It's expected in human life. It's expected. You don't have to confess, oh Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I'm bitter. What we need to do is, Lord, here's my bitterness. I pour on you. I pour on you. Have you never said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't agree. This is not what I signed up for. But we just pour on him. We just pour on him. When we do, then we open and allow. You know that hymn 255 by Brother A.B. Simpson. We mentioned this last night, I think. O Lord, breathe thy spirit on me. Teach me how to breathe thee in. Help me pour into thy bosom all my life of self and sin. I am breathing out my sorrow, breathing out my sin. I am breathing, breathing, breathing all thy fullness in. Then if you go through that hymn, almost every verse starts like this. Breathing out something negative. breathing out, breathing out, breathing out, breathing out. And then in the second half of the verse, it's breathing in. One verse says, I'm breathing out my longings. My longings. In thy listening, loving ear. You have longings? For yourself? For your children? For the saints? For your church? Even for the Lord's recovery? Breathe out our longings. Then it says, I am breathing in thine answers, stilling every doubt and fear. Do you know, dear saints, sometimes the answer is no. But we can't handle that no unless you breathe out your longing to make room for him. When we breathe out, there's room for him to come in and minister to us, really to wash our feet, to remove the separation. And then you know what? Even the no, you can handle it. Moses, can you come up here real quick? Are your kids here?
Yeah.
Oh, they're serving. Oh, good. Very good. Amen. You know, there's a Psalm 3:3. Psalm 3:3. It says that the Lord, I'm going to tell you the recovery version says, the Lord is my glory and the one who lifts up my head. My glory and the one who lifts up my head. In the King James, it's my glory and the lifter of my head. I learned this when I was a child. My glory and the one who lifts up my head. Sometimes we need our head lifted up because we're down. You know, when we're sad, depressed, how are we usually? Yeah. Then you need someone to look over here. Be sad. Now I look. That's what the Lord is. Thank you. That's all. I learned this when I was a child. Maybe some of you know this song. It says, my glory and the lifter of my head. My glory and the lifter of my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield to me. The glory and the lifter of my head. Thank you. There's more to it, but excuse my voice. You know those CDs, NYC CDs? Yeah, I've never been asked to sing on those. Yeah, there's a reason for that. But you know, Psalm 5:3 says he likes to hear our voice in the morning, even my voice. That's 5:3. The lifter of our head is 3:3. Dear saints, and I would say, dear sisters, let the Lord lift up your head. Pour out the bitterness, the displeasure. The Lord will come in and he'll wash you. Sometimes all you need is the Lord himself to come. Through one verse can save you. But if we let it go, we often need someone else to come and wash. But even then, we have to be open. We have to be open. You know, washing feet, I've been thinking about this. You know, washing feet is very inconvenient. To wash someone, you have to get everything ready and then stoop. But to be washed, you have to sit down. I suppose I could wash your feet standing up, but it'd be harder, no? You need to stop. You need to stop. And just sit down. And what? Open and allow. You have to open and allow. And that's not that easy. That's not that easy. Sometimes the saints come for quote unquote fellowship. Actually, and yes, many times it's genuine. But at least sometimes, the saints really are not searching for fellowship. The saints are either looking for advice or confirmation. I want you brothers to agree with what I think. But I come for fellowship. The real fellowship starts with the washing of one another's feet. And so you have to stop your inner being. You have to sit. You have to be still. And you have to what? Open and allow. Allow the brothers to say something. Sometimes the temperature of the water might be a little warm. Nevertheless, that will wash our feet. Are we open? Are we open? Okay, let's come to the outline. And we're reading Romans 6. Let's read together, please. Saints, doesn't this stir something in you, even this language? Don't you want this? Don't you want to have an enigmatic freshness? You know what that means, enigmatic. It's puzzling to people. I know what you go through, but you're still always so calm. That's enigmatic. Sometimes at work, some of our coworkers, they can't figure us out. How come you're so happy Monday morning? It's Monday morning. They say, oh. And you can choose either to say something or not say something. Just. But there's a freshness that affects everyone around you. And we know saints like this in our group meeting, in our church life. Oh, when a certain brother is not in the meeting, we feel, oh, he's not going to be in the meeting? Because we all sense the loss. His freshness impacts all of us. He doesn't have to share much. It doesn't mean that's the one giving the opening word. It's just their presence in the meeting. I remember years ago, these dear saints, they're with the Lord now. Many of you have visited New York City, the church there, the main hall, the first hall, what we call Hall 1 in Jamaica Estates. We own a property right next door, that we lovingly call Bethel House. Bethel House. Some of you may have even taken hospitality there. When we first got that property, we asked an elderly couple to move there. And the sister, she was very energetic. This is Sister Esmeralda. Yeah, some of the saints know. And Brother Ralph Cuevas, who we lovingly called Fellito. Yeah, some of the saints will understand that. While they lived there, I began my full-time service. And so I would go to the meeting hall. I used the meeting hall, service office, as my office for my morning study in the Word for hours before going to the campus or to contact the saints. Sometimes then I would come back to the hall, wrap up some work, and every now and again, I just drop in. And Sister Esmeralda would give me a cup of coffee, Spanish coffee, exactly the way I like it. Just sitting with these two saints, just sitting with them, I'm refreshed. Time and time and time again. These two elderly saints, they didn't preach to me. They didn't even have to talk about spiritual things. Just being in their presence, I can serve. I can go to serve. We are blessed with saints like this in the churches. They have an enigmatic freshness. You know, our brother, Brother Ralph, the brother I'm talking about, this elderly brother, he only had not even a full elementary school education. Yet, you come to his presence. He just exuded Christ. Don't you want to be that way? For the Lord's sake? Not to be someone, but so the body can be built. Amen. A says, we need the renewing of the Holy Spirit day by day so that we can always be fresh and invigorated. Titus 3:5 says, not out of works of righteousness which we did, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the first washing was that regeneration, but that process continues our entire life. That renewing of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing process. The Lord wants to keep washing us and renewing us day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, we're, I think, more familiar with these verses. I'll just read verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Amen. Amen. Don't lose heart. Amen. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Amen. B says, foot washing means, foot washing means recovering our former feelings, bringing us back to the freshness and newness of life, and giving us fresh strength to recover how we previously treasured the Lord as our first love by giving him the first place in all things. You know, among us in the churches in this region, we have a number of young ones who the Lord has led to serve him with their full time. We treasure them and their consecration. But I know the path you have chosen, dear saints, I'm talking to these dear saints, these young ones, the path you have chosen is not an easy one. You have, at the beginning, that consecration. You give yourself to the Lord, so fresh. You're just anywhere. Brothers, just tell me where to serve. I just want to serve. That's wonderful. But then very quickly, you discover, wait a minute. This is not exactly what I thought full-time service was going to be. The brothers, the elders, well, they're not like the trainers in Anaheim. Wait a minute. What is this? The saints, wait, expectations. My roommate, Wait, I thought we were all consecrated. Thing after thing from every direction. And it's very possible after serving 1-2 years, the initial feelings are not there anymore. We need our former feelings to be recovered. We need washing. I know you spend almost your entire day washing other people's feet. That's your heart, especially students, whether high school students, university students. Saints, sometimes you have to stop and allow others to wash your feet. And certainly, you need to have the habit of coming every day back to the Lord to allow Him to wash your feet. Never, never allow your service for Him to become the veil between you and Him. That happens. Just never allow that. Say, Lord, I love You. I need You. You know, Brother Nee has this marvelous message that even just the title recalibrates us. Ministry to the house or to the Lord? Wow. It's very possible we get caught up like Martha with our service. And we need to be, remember Brother Lee said, we need to be Mary, Martha, Lazarus. We need to be all three. It doesn't mean just be Mary and forget serving. No, no. But even while we're serving, we need to know what it is to be refreshed in the Lord. And sometimes, before the Lord, you yourself cannot break through. Don't be bothered by that. Sometimes the Lord ordains it that way. Maybe to bring you into a lesson on trusting and knowing the body. You need to go to someone and just open. Open. It's okay to let someone know that you're not what you thought you were. And just be open. And you'll find they won't rebuke you. They won't accuse you. They won't think badly of you. They'll just wash your feet. And then, now you can serve stronger. You can serve stronger. We have the verses here, Revelation 2, 4, and 5. I mentioned this earlier. This is the scripture reading to point B. You have left your first love. Remember, this is Revelation 2, 5. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen from and repent and do the first works. Do the first works. But then the last verse in the scripture reading is Colossians 1, 18. And He is the head of the body of the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that He Himself might have the first place in all things. Saints, one way to recapture our former feelings, or I would say to even maintain those initial feelings of consecration, is to endeavor always and in every situation to exalt Christ and give Him the first place in everything. And I say a word to the parents, the families among us, especially the young families. The majority of you, you were married in the church life. Maybe one grew up in the church life, the other came along the way. Maybe both grew up in the church life. But your sense is the Lord brought you together. He's the source of this union. And what God has joined together, let man not separate. Okay. Then, at your wedding, you asked for the blessing and you received the blessing. So this house is for the Lord. Maybe you even said, as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Okay, that's wonderful. And then you said something like, oh, we want our home open and our refrigerator open and so on. I've heard many of these kind of testimonies at weddings. Then the Lord blesses you and you can buy your first house. Then the Lord blesses you and you have your first child. And you consecrate that child to the Lord. But you maybe forgot to follow the story of Samson. You know Samson? Manoah is his father. We don't know her name. But the angel came to her and told her how to raise the child. How to raise the child? You should not, you know, he was going to be a Nazarite. How to raise the child? You should not take from the vine. He charged her how she should be, not how the boy should be. So then she goes to her husband, says, this happened to me. He says, well, next time, you have to let me know. And so then he comes again, and because he said, we have to learn how to raise the child. Did he tell you? And so then that happens again, and she comes to get Manoah. And then Manoah comes and says, tell us. Well, he says, first, are you the one that came before? He says, I'm him. He says, tell us how. How should we raise the child? You know, I'm paraphrasing. He says, I already told her. And if you look in Judges 13, you look at that, the next verse, I think five times it says, she has to not take of the vine. Her consecration. How do you raise the child? Her consecration. My point here is, very often, when the saints have a new baby, the father will stand up, my wife had a baby, and we want to consecrate little Susie to Christ and the church. But hardly ever do you say, we consecrate ourselves afresh to raise this child for Christ and the church. Sometimes, in raising the children, it's unconscious. Unconscious. The parents, in the parents' hearts, the children have the first place, not the Lord. Be careful. You would say, no, 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 no. I know you would say no. That's why I said it's unconscious. You're the only one not clear that it is so. To everyone else, it seems. Everything is for the children. And it's your heart. Of course everything's for our children, our grandchildren. We love them. We like to pour out on them. But we just have to make sure, Lord, in my love, you have the first place. If we do this, even our love for our children would not become a separation between us and God. Oh, it's so subtle, brothers and sisters. The enemy could use anything to separate us from God. Even our natural love. So may we all have the grace to give the Lord the first place all the time. Exalt Christ in our family life. C says, we cannot wash others' feet unless we enjoy the Lord as our overcoming life and obtain the Spirit's help to live out such a life. The Spirit within us is our comforter, the one who takes care of our case, our cause, and our affairs. I do hope all of us would learn how to experience, receive, and be under the continual comfort of the Holy Spirit. That He really would be our comforter. Always we have the assurance, He's taking care of me. He's taking care of my case. He's on my case. He's got, I think I used this phrase last night, He's got my back. Lord, you're always got my back. You're always with me. Lord, and sometimes we have to confess, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand. But, Lord, I walk by faith, not by sight. And Lord, I hold on to the things that you can't see, not the things that you can see. So I know I'm looking at this situation. It seems almost as if you've abandoned me or abandoned us. Sometimes we go through something like this in the church life. Lord, where are you? Oh, that we would have that assurance. Lord, I don't understand, but I know you're with us. And I know even you're operating. So, Lord, amen. Amen. Your will be done. Yeah. D says, every one of us needs our feet washed. Every one of us needs to be prepared to wash others' feet. Among all the services that Christians minister to one another, nothing is more crucial or precious than foot washing. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Amen. Let's read Romans 7 together. Foot washing is a... And here we have a quotation. We just thought this is so precious. It's better just to put the whole quotation here into the outline. This is, it shows us here at the end, the Collected Works of Watchman Nee, volume 42. So allow me just to read this and read along, please. How can we wash one another's feet? Suppose you have completed your day's work and feel tired. You cannot utter any praises from your mouth. In the evening, when you come to the meeting, someone asks you to pray. Halfway through your prayer, you cannot go on and you stop. You feel as if your prayer is nothing more than a composition. This is what I meant by perfunctory yesterday. However, perhaps one brother in the meeting has a fresh spirit, and his prayer refreshes your spirit. Your spiritual energy is renewed. This is washing one another's feet. Many times when we come to the meeting, we find the saint's spirit weak and downtrodden. We pray and read the word, but nothing seems to work. The reason for this is that everyone's feet are defiled, and there is no basin to wash the feet. It is as if something is quenching our spirits. If someone would stand up at this point and wash everyone's feet by offering a prayer or saying a few words, the whole meeting will be refreshed. Without the basin and without the foot washing, everyone's spirit is bound. The same is true in our family life. A brother or sister may unexpectedly drop by our home and fellowship a short while or give a testimony, and everyone in the family is brought into the presence of God. Before that time, there was a separation between them and God, but after just a simple conversation, all the separation is gone. This is washing one another's feet. Those who do this are precious in the Lord's eyes. We should have an ambition before the Lord to wash others' feet. In order to wash others' feet, we must have the water. That is, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit and be in constant fellowship with the Lord. For this cause, we must live in the Holy Spirit daily. Only then will we have the living water to wash others' feet. Every time we come to the meeting, we must have the living water to wash others' feet. Isn't that precious? Have you experienced this? You come to a meeting. It might be a Thursday night small group meeting or Saturday night. You're with saints. And you sing. You do everything that you usually do. And everyone's thinking the same thing, though nobody says it. This meeting's dead. And so you try something, and it doesn't work. And then another brother would say, let's pray with these verses. That doesn't work either. What happened? Nobody brought the basin. We were expecting something there. This is why yesterday I mentioned this. Saints, if just 5 minutes before you arrive, on the way. What's your drive? Is it 10 minutes? Oh, imagine, 10 minutes. You get in the car. It's your neighborhood meeting. 10 minutes. You get in the car. Oh, Lord. Lord, I love you. I need you. Lord, is there anything that I need the blood? Don't forget the blood. We do need the cleansing of the blood. We do need the confession of sins. But if that's out of the way, Lord, you know my day, but thank you I can come to you. Lord, just fill me. Oh, Lord, the meeting, the saints. Oh, Lord. And you just start praying for each family, every saint. Lord, be with us. Okay, now imagine, this is a combination of six households. Four couples, a brother's house and a sister's house. And every car coming to this home prays these prayers. What do you think? What do you think? I think you don't have to wait to the meeting. I think as you're having dinner together, I'm already refreshed. But normally, not every car will be full of prayer. How about we just make sure my car is full of prayer? And you know what? If mom and dad, husband and wife, would have this practice, just to pray for those few minutes, oh, I tell you, that will wash away some things from your marriage life that would have been a hindrance. Maybe without the reason to pray for the meeting, you wouldn't sit down and pray. But for the saints' sake, this is exactly what the Lord said in John 17:19. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. For their sakes. The church life helps us. The church life blesses our marriage. Saints, if we don't have this, but if we end up having an accumulation, day after day, week after week, of layers of separation that we don't realize. Oh, I tell you, that gives ground for Satan to attack the marriages. That gives ground for Satan to put doubts about the church life. That gives ground for Satan to put doubts about the leading ones in the church. We need just daily the washing. Do you see how crucial this is for the building up of the church? Okay, I'll go on to point 8, the final point. Oh, let's read this again. Saints, this is the burden. Let's read strongly Romans 8. Without the spiritual foot washing, the church life cannot be realized, and the reality of the church life would be gone. In order to wash others' feet, we must daily be filled with the Holy Spirit, be in constant fellowship with the Lord, and live in the mingled spirit. The first reference here is Ephesians 5:18. I have some burden on this. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled in spirit. In our spirit, is the Holy Spirit, is the water. But sometimes we can't get there. Why? The worldly wine, which refers to what? Enjoyments. The enjoyments of the world. Some enjoyments of the world clearly are defiling. Clearly. But many are not. Many are not. But it's still the worldly wine. Be careful. Be careful. There should be a limit. Yes, we need some diversion. Brother Nee has a marvelous article on recreation. Have you read that? All the young people should definitely read that chapter. This is in Messages for Building Up New Believers. The principle is, you take a break from your work, you take a break, You do something that refreshes your inner being so that you can go back to work. Not you do something that refreshes your inner being and saps all your energy and then you have nothing left when you go back to work. Many people on the weekends, they're filled with debauchery. So many things. They go on vacation, and then you need a vacation from your vacation. You understand? So there are diversions, there are things. Maybe I'll take, just as an example, sports. Okay, sports in themselves. I know people here, the Eagles are doing really well. It's sports. To watch a little. But I tell you, be careful. Because that could be the worldly wine eventually. So that you're sitting in the meeting thinking about the game at 1 o'clock. Good thing they played already, right? They play Thursday? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brothers, no. They play Thursday? No, I know too. Yeah. They already played, thank the Lord. Yeah. But the Saints from Washington, I don't know when they play. Does anybody care about? Anyway, sorry. Sorry. But you could touch that. But does the result separation? That's the question. Another brother could touch that and he could even watch a game. And then his spirit is not affected. But you go to the game, oh, even knowing the game is coming. Separation. So learn. Be careful. In 1 Corinthians 7, it says, those 31, something like that. Use the world, but don't abuse it. The Lord said we should learn to be in the world, but not of the world. In Corinthians 6, it says, all things are lawful. Right? All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. So we should learn ourselves. Some things, you touch them, you get sucked in. And these things, with the different app. Oh, is everybody looking? I want you to look. These things. And you're in a particular whatever app. And your intention is 5 minutes. Oh. And 30 minutes. Like that. It's 30 minutes. I'm not talking about any of these things. I'm not saying don't do any of these things. I'm saying, is there separation? We have to learn. There has to be a limit, an inward limit. Oh Lord, I will not be brought under the power of anything. I can walk away from anything. The Lord has the first place in my life and in my heart. B says, therefore, the daily foot washing definitely needs to be exercised by the Lord himself on the one hand and by all the saints on the other hand. Then we shall be able to maintain an excellent fellowship with which we shall have the real church life. C, together. Now I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus because these have filled up the lack caused by your absence. For they refresh my spirit and yours. Acknowledge before such ones. Paul wrote this in Corinthians. These brothers refreshed Paul's spirit. So this shows us, Paul needed his feet washed. Paul needed encouragement. If Paul needed encouragement, don't you think we can admit that we need encouragement. We can receive this refreshment from many directions. Finally, D, may we have fresh spiritual experiences every day. Romans 15:32 says, I may refresh myself and rest with you. Saints, I hope you would remember the bridge. We talked about this in the first session. Psalm 22, 23, and Psalm 24. And Psalm 22 talks about the Lord's first coming. And Psalm 24 about his coming again, the second coming, to bring in his kingdom. Psalm 23 is the bridge of shepherding. The bridge of shepherding. And then on that night in June and in John 13, the Lord brought in two matters that are specifically, more specific, this bridge of shepherding. The spiritual foot washing and the Lord's table. That's our washing away the separation from the world and our eating the Lord. That will bring us to the end. That will bring us to the uttermost. And this is the way we can love one another to build up one another in the body. Amen. How about we have some prayer again with one or two around us? And I think we have plenty of time, right, for overflowing? Yeah, for you to share. Amen.